Let me tell you something. You know, God's insane. He's insanely in love with you. Amen? I thought I'd get your attention. And I'm learning that the longer I walk with the Lord, the more I know how crazy He is about me. And that changes your life, doesn't it? How does that make you feel when you know someone is in love with you in spite of you? And we're all pretty messed up. Amen? You know that. Not one of us is perfect yet. And we keep aggravating the Father, you know, by some of the things we continue to do. But yet He keeps loving us. Wow, that's the kind of God I want to serve. How about you? Yeah, amen. And I tell you, it's just wonderful being here this morning. I am so grateful to finally have the opportunity to be with each and every one of you. Grace has been a big supporter of our ministry over the years. And I got to put my glasses on. I have new glasses, and sometimes I just forget that I can't see. So I bump into things sometimes and can't read things. But anyway, we can't do this ministry without you. You know that. And the most important thing is your prayers. And I'm not going to ask you how many people pray for us, because I don't want to embarrass you. I want to come back again. You know, I don't want you to run into your pastor saying, boy, Pastor Kimmel embarrassed me today. No, you wouldn't do that. But anyway, your prayers and, of course, your financial support. And God provides through people like you. And from the bottom of my heart, I am just so very grateful. Not only for your prayers, not only for your financial support, but for the team that comes in faithfully to serve these men and women behind the bar. So I'm sorry Pastor Ralph couldn't be here today, but to Pastor Ralph and the leadership and the wonderful folks here at Grace, thank you, thank you, thank you. It means a lot to me. Well, I want to take you back on a journey today, just for a little bit. I promise I won't bore you, but I want to take you back to B.C., before Christ. Okay? And that was many, many years ago, but I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest version. All right? Amen. I heard somebody in the back row say amen. But anyway, I was born a long, long time ago, all right, in Baltimore City, actually. And the interesting part gets started in my teenage years, okay, when I started rebelling. Actually, I was born into a Jewish family. How many of you knew that I was born Jewish? Anybody here? I know some of you might have heard my testimony, but two loving parents. And but when I hit 13, after I was bar mitzvahed, anybody know what a bar mitzvah is? Okay, yeah, it's not something you take antibiotics for. But after I was bar mitzvahed, then wow, things started happening. I'll give you a little hint of how old I am. I was started to rebel during the Vietnam era, back in the 60s. And you know, love, peace. I had hair down to here. Yeah, believe it or not, hair today, gone tomorrow. And I had long hair. I played in a rock band. I was a drummer in a rock band. When I tell that to the inmates, they go, what? Come on. You know, they only see me in one light. But, you know, I tell them my story, and they go, man, if you could get saved, anybody can get saved, you know? And so, yeah, the alcohol and the drugs and, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll, all that. And there was a lot of rebellion going on during that time. But during that time also, I was searching. There was something that I knew could give me peace. And I didn't know what it was. So I tried all the religions of the world. How many of you have tasted the different religions of the world? Yeah, I know I had. And I read a lot because I was really searching. There was a hole in my heart. And many of you have heard it referred to a God space. Right? There's a God space in every man's heart and every woman's heart. And only God can fill that. But yet we try to fill it with so many other things. And so one evening, March of 1979, after years of searching, I finally went to see a movie called The Distant Thunder. Some of you young guys don't remember that. How many have you ever heard of The Distant Thunder, Thief in the Night? Yeah, one person, a couple people. Here was a trilogy that was produced right from the Bible. But it talked about the end times. You know, what's going to happen when the church is raptured, you know? And, of course, you know, all these years, God was preparing me for that one night. I went to the movie, and I came out of the movie with my wife. It was held at Baltimore County Baptist Church. Pastor Bob Gaiman at the time, who now heads up Helping Hand Mission. He's the executive director down there. Well, he gave the invitation. He gave the Romans Road. And something happened to me that night. I went back in the car, and I started crying like a baby. I said, honey, I've come home. After all those years of searching, there was such an incredible peace that flooded over me. A ton of weight was lifted off my shoulder. What were they? They were my sins, okay? And that evening, I became a new creation in Christ. And my life began to change tremendously. I joined a local church and trained in the soul winning program, in the bus ministry, in the jail ministry, rescue mission. I worked with the homeless. God was always using me in some area of my life, some area that wasn't the rich and famous. It was the poor and needy. He was always pulling me to those people. So that was a little introduction there, how I came to know Christ, and to this day, I'm still going strong by God's grace, and I get more excited. You know, some old preacher told me once, never lose that honeymoon love, and it's easy to lose it, and you always got to remember, it's you and Jesus, and man, that love is just very, very satisfying, and it keeps you. So, but let me fast forward to the early 90s. There was a gnawing in my heart, a holy uncomfort. Anybody ever feel that way, that nothing was right? There was puzzle pieces that were missing, and you just didn't know. You knew you were walking with the Lord. You knew there wasn't any sin in your life, but yet there was God was calling me, and I didn't know what it was. And I would try so very hard to get into the Word and to see, God, what are you saying to me? And it was a real rough time in my life during those years. And basically, I heard God say, son, just draw closer to me. That's what really the calling is. Draw closer to the God that loves you. So I surrendered. I yielded to that next step. And in the mid-90s, I was ordained as a pastor at Uniontown Bible Church, that was their first associate pastor that I had, the role that I filled there, and was just so thrilled. God was using me in a lot of ways, but now, there's a calling now, and I want to share that with you. I had been volunteering in the Carroll County Detention Center for about 23, 24 years, there was something drawing me to the inmates there. There was something drawing me. And I remember the first time heading into the Carroll County Detention Center, and I heard those steel doors slam behind me. Some of you know that sound, and it seems like it's so permanent. But it was where I was supposed to be. I went in with a pastor from Clearfield Bible Church, Pastor Dave Dooley. Anybody ever know Dave Dooley? He's home with the Lord right now. But he was the first pastor that took me in and mentored me as a young believer. And I'd been there ever since, so to speak. I served two interim terms as a fill-in chaplain, in between Good News chaplains as they changed chaplains. And again, I've always been pulled to those kind of people, the down and outers, the people that you don't want to touch, the people that you walk on the other side of the street when you see them. But God had placed a love in my heart for these folks that was just unbelievable. I tell people, I go to jail every day and I love it. Now, what sane person would say that? But, it gets that kind of reaction. And, it's like, when you're where God wants you to be, guess what? You're okay. You're cool with that, because that's where God has you. You're right in the center of his will. And no matter whether you're on the streets of Calcutta or the penitentiaries in the world, wherever you are, the AIDS hospitals, wherever you are, if that's where God has you, you find joy in that. And that love of God breaks down so many different barriers, and it's just wonderful. So let me fast forward again. With retirement in reach, I worked 30 years for Carroll County government as a facility manager. And with retirement in reach, the Lord kept whispering one word in my heart, and that was chaplaincy. And I couldn't get around it. I couldn't get, Lord, okay. You know, my prayer was, what do you want me to do when I grow up? You know, I didn't know. 30 years with Carroll County government and a future. My wife had retired, so she stopped bringing in the big bucks there. And, you know, it was all on me. I'm retired now, Lord, so wouldn't be a greeter at Walmart. That's okay, Lord, I can do that. I could smile and greet people. But I prayed, had other people praying, and, you know, Lord, well, maybe this is it. Maybe you want me to serve you full-time at the Carroll County Detention Center. So I met with Chaplain Ray Newman at the time, and he had been there for 8 years. We sat down. This was just before retirement. We sat down and talked, and it just didn't seem the time. Another chaplain had stepped in, Chaplain Wayne Bauman, which you probably know. Chaplain Bauman stepped in. I retired, and unexpectedly, in the summer of 2010, Chaplain Bauman resigned from Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. I placed the call to Harry Green, then the president of Good News Jail and Prison Ministry, a former inmate himself. That's another story. I have some stuff back on the table you're welcome to take to learn about Harry and the start of Good News. But this opened the door for me to serve the people that I've been serving for 30 years and just a different, wearing a different hat. So October 2010, I was commissioned as Good News Jail and Prison Ministry Chaplain at the Carroll County Detention Center. This is my third year there, and I'm so very grateful that I listened to the Lord, waited for his timing, which is so critical, and God knew when it was time for me to step in. And I love the verse in Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh my God, how many broken hearts. To proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who were bound. Now, is that my verse or what? You know, think about that. You know, this is good news. This is great news. Every single day, I try to fulfill that promise that we sang about today. We sang about God's promises. And this is on my heart every day. I pray that God uses me to bring salvation to every single person that's in prison, because they need to be set free. You know what, my friends? It's not the steel and the concrete that hold them prison. What is it? Sin. That's where they're in prison. Okay? And God calls me and God calls our volunteers to set them free on the inside first. And then they can really taste that freedom. And that's what Isaiah is talking about. Every day we have the opportunity to share the gospel with folks and to give them an opportunity to become free men. Not slaves to sin anymore, but free men, free women, to serve a God that loves them and paid the price for them. Well, at the Carroll County Detention Center, there's approximately 200 to 230 inmates on the average that I have the opportunity, that the volunteers have the opportunity to bring the good news to every single week. 55 to 65 men are in the work release area. I go down there once a week. We do a Bible study on Thursday night down there. Many of those men come to faith. Every year, there's 2,000 people that pass through central booking. 2,000 people. Most of them get locked up. And I get the opportunity just to say, hey, you know, is it working for you? I've never had anybody say yes yet. Never had anybody say yes. They say no. I say, you want to know something that'll work for you? And hopefully they'll listen to me. So 88% are male, 12% are female. The average age is around 27. 80% of those that are incarcerated, guess what, are your neighbors. They're your neighbors. 81%, this will blow you away, are there for substance abuse. 81%. Oh, my God. There's not one person in this room, I guarantee, that hasn't been touched by either knowing somebody that's been incarcerated or drugs or alcohol. Seriously. It's an epidemic. About a year or so ago, I went into one of the units, And I met a young man there. Well, he wasn't young anymore, but I pictured him young. He was sitting at the table playing cards, and we kind of walked by, and we kind of did a double take. And it was a young man named Tim that I knew when he was 15 years old, and he helped me in ministry. He was 44 years old. Don't you think that made me feel old? He was a grandfather. And we sat and we talked and we cried. And I tell you the story because it could be any mother's son. It could be anyone's sister. It could be someone's brother. It could be your grandfather or your grandmother. And that's the folks I meet every day. Now let me tell you what I do when I go into jail. When I go into the jail, I've been called by God to be their pastor. And basically, it's not that hard. I put my arm around them, and I point them to God. Is that hard? You can do that, right? Anybody can do that. I say, hey, come here. I've got something great to tell you. You know, because if they're not in Christ, they're on the outside, and they're walking away. So basically, you know, wouldn't you want someone just to put your arm around you and say, hey, you know, just walk with me a little bit. And that's basically what I do. But my main responsibility is just like Jesus, Luke 19:10, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why I'm there. It's the only ministry I know of that our law enforcement officers bring fish into a pond, stock it for you, and all I got to do is bring my fishing pole. You know what I mean? God will make us fishers of men, right, and women. So it's great, and I love to fish. How many of y'all love to fish here? Anybody love to fish? You guys aren't fishers? You know? Oh, okay. I just was out in the bay this past week. I caught two really beautiful rockfish. Man, that was great. We had a great time out there. But evangelism, you know, every day, priority one. Why? Why is my job evangelism? Because God said so. Didn't he? Didn't he say that? Matthew 28. Have you read Matthew 28 lately? You know, just do it. Just do it. That's what our job is. So we evangelize every single day. And plant the seeds. Plant the seeds. Discipleship. Every week, men and women are being discipled. Not only by me, but by a great volunteer team that we have. They come in. The women come in and counsel with the women. You don't know how powerful that is. You know, men are a little hard to counsel with sometimes, but these women, when they get with these godly women, things really happen, and it's wonderful. I see it. I see them changing. I see them growing in the Lord. I do counseling every day. I give out Bibles every day. Man, that's tough, isn't it? We give out the Word of God. The first thing someone asks for when they get locked up, a Bible. Chap, you got a Bible? Now, why? Why do they do that? They want to find God. Deep down inside, they want to find God. And it's so cool. And the Gideons give me Bibles, other churches, church groups, other groups donate Bibles to me. And I can't keep them on the shelf. I cannot keep Bibles on the shelf. Religious volunteer oversight, we've got a bunch of volunteers, but we need more. There's so many gaps in our ministry right now. Please, go back on the table, look at some things, call me, email me. Take me out to breakfast, lunch, dinner. I love to eat. You know, you're welcome to do that. I got a sign-up sheet back. No, I don't. I'm out in the community, just like here, Grace. I talk to different churches all the time. Talk to businessmen and women in the community. I brag on what God's doing. What God's doing with Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. I just brag on that and let God do the rest, and it's wonderful. I'm amazed and humbled to see how God has worked through me and all the volunteers and to see these changed lives every week. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, any man or woman be in Christ, they're a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Isn't that great? That's branded on my heart. Because that's our job, to make new creations. Remember, we're co-laborers with God, right? We work with God. God works with us. God is in us to do and to will his good pleasure, right? So we're a team, man. We work together to make new men and women, and that's what changes the world. Well, Good News Ministry began in 1961, and we're entering our 53rd 52nd year of ministry, still going strong. The main focus for five decades has been to train and place chaplains in jails all over the world. We're an international ministry. We have chaplains in, we have close to 300 chaplains in 25 countries. And we continue to grow. And God has blessed us there. Biblical values are taught, and biblical values are lived out in the flesh, so to speak. The objective of every Good News chaplain is to provide pastoral ministry that is committed to spiritual growth and social restoration. I'm reminded each day when I go into the detention center that justice is not the only way we punish those who do wrong, but guess what? It's the way we save them too. Isn't that neat? Justice on one hand, salvation on the other, working together. And so I think that's pretty cool. Couple true life stories I want to share with you now. Am I okay on time, Ryan? All right. I told Ryan to give me the sign here if I'm running over, because I can go over a little bit. Let me share with you a couple real life stories. Just last week, in one of my Bible studies, a young man, I think he was like 19, 20 years old. He was quiet during my whole Bible study, just silent, wouldn't say a word. Finally, as I was wrapping up, he finally spoke out and said, "Chaplain, how do I become a Christian?" I said, "Well, look, here's Billy Graham's phone number. Give him a call." Of course not. You know, how many of you ever have that opportunity? It happens to me a lot. "Chaplain, how do I become a Christian?" Well, time was running out. I had to get them. The jail runs, but you know, very, very succinctly scheduled. So the next day I went to see him, talked to him in a private counseling room, and we prayed, and God changed his heart in that young man. It was great. He's been coming to the Bible studies ever since. A young Muslim woman requested a visit by me and wanted a Quran. Everybody know what a Quran is, right? Yeah. Well, I give them out, but I don't get them from Islamic centers. I get them from churches, because as a chaplain, under the Constitution of the United States of America, I must protect everyone's religious rights in that facility. And I do. And I've seen some weird stuff, you know? How many of you have ever heard of Odinism? Somebody, yeah, a young lady there, Odinism. There's a movie out called Thor, you know, and that these guys believe in, woo, you know, kind of Norse gods and earth, and, you know, it's all part of the New Age stuff, but it's a very old religion. And the guy wanted me to print him out something. So I printed him out a poem. I started looking it up. It's kind of neat because you learn about all these things. And I printed out some poem, gave it to him. He was happy. But I'm fulfilling the law that I'm held by under the Constitution of the United States. And there's certain religions that are recognized. So anyway, this young lady asked me for a Quran. That was a long story, wasn't it? On something. But anyway, I told her that I didn't have one, but I carry a little bag around. I said, "Here, I have a Bible here." She said, "Okay, I'll take the Bible." She started reading the Bible. She started coming to every Bible study class. This is a Muslim woman now. Unfortunately, she was deported to South Africa. But she went back to South Africa as a new woman. And that's, you talk about a worldwide ministry. I meet people there because of our immigration folks that come in, that break the law and come in. I meet people there from all over the world. They get saved. They go back. They're the light in their country. Isn't that wonderful? And that's because of you. That's because of you. Okay? I want to read you a quick letter here that I just received. About a week before you came and prayed with Shannon, Tabitha, and I was at an all-time low. I didn't know what to say or what to do, and so I wrote this. "I feel a sinking in my stomach and aching in my chest. I want it to go away. I want the pain to stop, wishing for rain to turn to sun. I need help. I need to be whole. This breaking is bringing down my soul, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get the strength to make it through. All I feel inside is, I can't. I don't want to. I won't go on like this. God, please help me. I need something. I need someone. I need help making it through. I need to survive. I lost my strength. I'm no longer strong enough to do this alone. After praying with you that Friday, then continuing to pray by myself in Bible studies and church, I have been a much better, much happier person. Thank you for your help, your kindness, your guidance. Don't ever estimate the good you do. I appreciate you and the time you share with us. God bless you, Paula. Wow. Now look, I don't have to be paid a dollar. That's all I need. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? And I get them all the time. And that's what God's doing. And countless other stories that we're writing the book of Acts, aren't we? Book of Acts didn't stop in the Bible. The book of Acts is a continual story. And those of us that are participating are still writing that story. And I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. So anyway, Ryan, let me know. What do I got? Five? Oh, man, I'm sunk. But anyway, let me ask you something. Here's what you can do. I'm going to challenge you, okay? You ready for a challenge on Sunday morning? Or are you ready for IHOP? Which one? Want to be challenged by God? Come on, or you want to go to IHOP? Be honest. I tell people, don't be Christian, be honest. But anyway, I'd like you to see real quick here, and I've got to run through it quick. What motivates me and what the biblical basis for chaplaincy work is actually in John chapter 4, and I'm going to have to run through this real quick. I want to tell you three things. And I want you to read John chapter 4, because it's really important. At least it's important to me. You know the story, right? The Samaritan woman meets Jesus, the Jew, right? Okay? Three quick things. And this is the basis for chaplaincy work. God is interested in people. God is interested in people. Number two, and I'm cutting it real quick. God is interested in people who aren't interested in him. And then number three, as we read the close of the story there, God's interested in people who are not interested in him, not because of what they can do for him, but because of what he can do for them. Look, I know they need God. I know they need hope. I know they need a Savior. They don't need reformation. They need transformation. And I hold the words of life when I go and talk to them. Wow. And I want them to have it too. It's a gift. It's a gift from God. The wages of sin is death. All of them are on death row, whether they realize it or not. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. So, That lights my burner. That really does. And thanks to you, we're working every single day in the Carroll County Detention Center, bringing the light to the lost. And if you'll go to the table on the back there, we do a tour called Look Behind the Walls. If you've never been in the Carroll County Detention Center, you've got to come in. You've got to come in. I'll lead the tour. You'll meet the warden. You'll meet some of the officers there. And see the work we're doing. It's incredible, and we're very, very blessed. So, four other quick things. This is my vision. This is what I do, and all the volunteers. Fourfold vision. For many people to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ and to go on to be disciples and disciple makers. For families to be put back together. For husbands to come back to their wives. Wives to come back to their husbands. Sons and daughters to return home to their parents as new creations. For men and women to be restored as healthy, productive citizens in our community. And then for churches to fulfill their God-given mandate to remember the prisoners as if imprisoned themselves, Hebrews 13:3. Would you be part of this great work with me? I'm hoping and praying that you will. Like other Good News chaplains around the world, I feel called to minister behind the walls and offer hope that God can change their lives even when all hope is lost and all else has failed. This blows me away when I think about it, and I hope you too. God has granted us the immeasurable privilege in participating with him in his work. In other words, God offers us a slice of the action. Wow. Did you ever think of it like that? God offers us a slice of the action. Are you getting into it? It's such a blessing to serve here. It's such a blessing to be here. And I just pray that God would stir your heart with what you can do to bring a message of grace, love, and forgiveness to those that are hurting behind the walls there and their families. Thank you for being such a faithful partner in this ministry with me. God loves you. He died for you. He was buried. He rose from the grave for us. And I hope each and every one of you know that. And by grace, you're saved through faith. And once we enter that, once we cross over from death to life, as Jesus said in John 5:24, we have the privilege to work with God to get a slice of the action and to see this world change like it never changed before. We don't have much time left. So get with the program. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this time with my brothers and sisters. Thank you for the opportunity to share my heart, Father. In these next few minutes, may we enjoy the music, the fellowship, and just the time where we let the Spirit work in our hearts, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.